Welcome to the James River Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Pastor John Lindell. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
Well, tonight what I want to do is I want to pick up where we left off with Havilah a couple weeks ago. Havilah Cunnington came 2 weeks ago and brought a great word. She talked about hearing God speak to you. And one of the things that I thought was so good about it is just simply the reminder that God is speaking. And a lot of people say, well, I don't think God is speaking to me. And then she said, well, no, maybe you're misunderstanding what God is doing in you. He's speaking. You just don't realize that he is. So she said there are four ways that we hear from God. One, there's intuition, there's the knowers. You just know that you know that you know. How do you know? You don't know, but you know. You can know how to do. You can know when. You have a sense that comes from the Lord, a divine intuition. Then there are seers or seers. Samuel in the Old Testament says he was a seer. It's the idea that he's a prophet, but he has the ability to see. And every now and then you'll meet people, or you may be one of these who sees, and you'll have things. You'll say, I had a dream, I had a vision, or I see this picture of something, and that's the way the Lord speaks to you. Or maybe you're a hearer and you hear the voice of the Lord. I would suggest that you can very possibly function in all of them, probably you're strongest in one, and maybe you have a primary and a secondary way of hearing from the Lord. So I would be a knower, for example. I mean, just through the years, most of it's just been intuitional, just a sense that you know, and then to hear. I would hear the Lord speak to my heart. So maybe you're a hearer, and then you have feeling. You can sense something. You feel something. I think Debbie, very often, she feels something. She can feel a situation and say, you know what, I don't have a good feeling. Or you know, I feel this is what is happening. And so God speaks in all kinds of ways. It's important for you and I to settle that in our heart that the Lord speaks. Over 300 times in the NIV, it says, and the Lord said. Yeah. God speaks to people. In the Old Testament, he spoke to all kinds of people, Abraham and Jacob, and he spoke to Joseph, and he spoke to Moses, and he spoke to David, and he spoke to Samuel. I mean, you just, it's a who's who as you read through. He spoke to Job, spoke to Jeremiah. God spoke. In the New Testament, obviously, he spoke to Paul and spoke to Peter, but then there's some people we don't know a lot about. Ananias in Acts chapter 9, God speaks to him, go and find Saul and lay your hands on him. I've called him to a great work. And in all those situations, those people are doing life and God is speaking to them. Now, in Acts chapter 21, there's an interesting account of the Apostle Paul. And in that account, you find God speaking to Paul and speaking to people, but they're concluding different things. And I want to talk about that a little bit, because while God speaks, and we may know some things, we may see some things, we may hear some things, we may feel some things, the conclusion we would draw from those things is where we have to be very, very careful. I don't doubt God speaks. In fact, I would suggest to you, if you don't feel God speaking to you with regularity, something's wrong. This should be a part of all of our lives with regularity, that we sense the voice of the Lord. But when God speaks, we have to be very, very careful what we do with it. And we have to be careful how we process it, lest we find ourselves concluding something from God stirring in our heart, God speaking to us, that is not in alignment with God's will. Let me just set the stage for you this way. Paul is on his third missionary tour, so he takes off from Antioch. He goes over into Greece. He's coming back. As he comes back, he bypasses Ephesus right here, and he goes down to Miletus, and he calls for the Ephesian elders to come down and to meet with him at Miletus. And while he's there, this is what he says in Acts chapter 20 and verse 22. "And now, compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem." Now, this is very interesting. That word compelled is a very strong word. Bound could be. Bound by the Spirit. I'm tied up by the Spirit. The idea is, it's almost as if Paul has no choice. Do we have a choice in serving the Lord? Absolutely. You can say no, but if you're following the Lord, then there's a sense where you have an obligation. Paul is compelled. He says, "I'm going to Jerusalem not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me." Paul is being warned repeatedly in every place that he goes that he's going to be imprisoned, that there are going to be hardships, and he has God speaking to him. You say, was it God's will for him to go? Well, compelled by the Spirit. So the Spirit is pushing him. The Spirit is driving him. It's a little bit like what you read in the temptation of Jesus in the Gospels. In Matthew's Gospel, it says Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. In Mark's Gospel, it says he was driven by the Spirit. Does the Spirit lead us or does he drive us? Both. The idea of being filled with the Spirit is the idea of the Spirit of God pushing you along like a ship with a sail, the wind of the Spirit filling the sail, and the Spirit of God is driving you. He's directing you. So this is somewhat what Paul is experiencing. Compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem. And he continued, as he continued, we read this in Acts chapter 21, verse 3. "We landed at Tyre, where our ship was to unload its cargo. And finding the disciples there, we stayed with them 7 days. Through the Spirit, they urged Paul not to go to Jerusalem." Now, this is interesting. Paul says he's compelled, he's warned, but now he meets believers, and they are, through the Spirit, urging Paul not to go. In the original, it's they kept urging him. They kept saying, "Paul, don't go. Don't go. I've got a word from the Lord. Don't go." And this is very, very interesting. Because God had spoken to Paul to go back to Jerusalem, but now people through the Spirit are urging him not to go to Jerusalem. How do we process that? I mean, it begs the question, does God contradict himself? Does he tell one person one thing and another person another thing? How can God be telling Paul, "Listen, go to Jerusalem," and God be telling people, "Tell Paul, don't go"? And I think what it does is these verses present for us some very practical understanding on how we process the voice of the Spirit in our life, in our situation, the situations of others. One of the dangers when it comes to hearing the voice of the Spirit is when we run it, what we hear, through the grid of our emotions. If we're not careful, our human emotions can skew our interpretation of the Spirit's prompting. The Spirit of God had spoken to these believers, this is my understanding of what we're reading here, had spoken to these believers about what would happen to Paul. And because they love Paul, because many of them came to know Christ because of Paul, because they admired Paul, their emotional attachment to Paul and their love for Paul led them to conclude that it wasn't God's will for Paul to go to Jerusalem. We could understand it this way. They had a word of knowledge, one of the gifts of the Spirit mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12. They just didn't have a word of wisdom. Look at it in 1 Corinthians 12:8. To one, there's given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. That's a word of wisdom. So the Spirit of God can give us wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. You say, what's the difference? A word of knowledge is where you instantly know something about a situation, a circumstance, or a person you wouldn't have any human way of knowing. God has revealed it to you by the Spirit. A word of wisdom is applying that knowledge to that situation and knowing what God's plan is in light of that knowledge. In Acts chapter 21 and verse 8, leaving the next day, we reached Caesarea, stayed at the house of Philip the evangelist, one of the seven. He had four unmarried daughters who prophesied. And after we had been there a number of days, a prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. Coming over to us, he took Paul's belt, tied his own hands and feet with it, and said, "The Holy Spirit says in this way the Jews of Jerusalem will bind the owner of this belt and will hand him over to the Gentiles." When we heard this, we and the people there pleaded with Paul not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, "Why are you weeping and breaking my heart? I'm ready not only to be bound, but also to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." And when he would not be dissuaded, we gave up and said, "The Lord's will be done." And after this, we got ready and went up to Jerusalem. You say, well, how do we know Paul was right and that their encouragement for him not to go was wrong? How would we know that? Well, I think, let me give you just four reasons. First of all, Paul lived very sensitive to the Spirit. I mean, we see that throughout the book of Acts. It doesn't make him infallible, but we have great confidence in his life because, I mean, in Acts chapter 16, he and his friends are walking across modern-day Turkey, and it says they tried to enter Bithynia, and the Holy Spirit wouldn't allow them to. And they tried to preach in Mysia, but the Holy Spirit said no. So they just keep on walking. So he's sensitive to the Spirit. Second, the Holy Spirit never told Paul not to go to Jerusalem. He only warned him repeatedly. That's what Paul says. Number three, he viewed heading to Jerusalem as a task given to him by the Lord. And if you look in verse 24, he talks about that of chapter 20. And finally, the Bible never suggests that Paul missed God's will by going to Jerusalem. In fact, when you read in Acts chapter 23, after he's in prison, the Lord Jesus shows up in the place where he's imprisoned and stood near Paul and said, "Take courage, as you've testified about me in Jerusalem, so you must also testify in Rome." I believe this. I believe that all of those warnings along the way were simply confirmation to what God had already spoken to Paul about what was going to happen, and that when it happened, it would be very disconcerting to be in Paul's situation, to be headed to Rome where he could be executed, and to have that weight and all of that and wonder, did I make a mistake? Should I have done what I did? Should I have gone up to the temple that day? Should I have listened to James and the other church elders and gone up and paid for the vows? And that's because that's what got him in trouble. You can read about it in Acts chapter 21. But Paul has this backdrop of words from the Lord that let him know, listen, God is in all of this, and that must have been very, very encouraging to him. Now, let me just give you, as we wrap this up and tie it together, I want to give you some tips on hearing the Spirit's voice in our life. The first thing is, if you and I are going to hear the voice of the Spirit, we have to believe what God has already spoken. In other words, if we're not going to pay attention to the Word of God and the revealed will of God, why is God going to tell us things that aren't revealed in His Word if we don't care about the things that are revealed in His Word? You know, God's not going to tell us something new if we haven't believed what He's already said. And I would suggest that one of the ways that we learn the heart of God and the mind of God and the thoughts of the Lord to whatever degree we as humans can understand it is by reading the Word of God, because we see how God thinks, we see how God works, we see what God says, we learn to understand His heart for people and His heart for us and the way He directs by reading the Word of God. We also learn the things that would be in keeping with his will and the things that would not be in keeping with his will, which helps keep us on the right path. Second, we have to understand that not every voice is God's voice. There are three voices, I mean, essentially a person can hear. One is our own voice. We have our conscience, which the conscience isn't necessarily God's voice. Can God energize our conscience? Yes. But the conscience is not infallible. Our conscience has to be trained according to the Word of God. And you can have people who have a hyperactive conscience and they're constantly feeling condemned. That's not God. You can have people who have a seared conscience and they're not convicted by anything, and that's not God either. So we have to be careful. And then there's the whole issue of our own human desires, and there are things that we want so bad, we desire so bad, that if we're not careful, we can superimpose over the top of whatever's happening and say, that must be the voice of God, when in fact it's just simply we're telling ourselves what we want to hear. I think another voice that we can hear is the voice of the enemy. Very clearly, Jesus was tempted by the devil. If Jesus is tempted by the devil and the devil's talking to Jesus, you can be sure the devil or his demons are talking to you, that they are tempting you. And so we have to learn to discern. And Satan himself appears as an angel of light. So many times what happens is Satan can try, his demons can try to imitate the voice of God. You say, well, wow, this is getting very confusing. I don't know, how would I know? This is the art of maturity in walking with the Lord. This is the value of spending time in the presence of the Lord. Even in a service like this, you sense the Spirit of God moving. You do. The longer you are, you might be new tonight, and you're sensing the Lord is in this place. But as you come more and you're around it more, you're watching the service being led. You're watching things happen. And through that, you're learning to understand how God moves in a place, and it helps in interpreting God's moving in your own life. Yeah. And then there's the voice of the Lord, where it really is the voice, and we are hearing his voice. In that sense, I mean, one of the things that I think is very helpful when you feel that you've gotten a very definite word from the Lord, write it down. See what happens. If it doesn't come true, and it's time sensitive, then you have to conclude, either I didn't hear God or I misinterpreted. And you, over time, you watch how that plays out in your life and you look at different things, and over time, you learn to understand and interpret God's voice. You say, well, how do I know if it's the voice of the Spirit speaking to me? Well, I think, first of all, obviously, he's going to be consistent with his word. Yeah. That you'll be able to identify it in his word. That if it does something in you that's not consistent with his word, then probably it's not the voice of God, because the kingdom of God is a matter of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And if it does something in you that doesn't foster those things, then it's probably not God. Number two, if what you're hearing involves a major decision, I think it's very, very important. No matter how sure you are you've heard from God, you should seek counsel. Yeah. Godly counsel. Wise counsel. I think it's important for you to seek the counsel of those who are over you in the Lord. So you say, how does that work? Well, it plays out if you're living at home, you're with your parents, I think it's very important that you seek your parents' counsel. I'm surprised how many people, especially young people, they make decisions, they're hearing. I'm not doubting that the Lord is speaking to them, but a bit of counsel and godly counsel go a long ways. And you know, I don't think you're ever at a place where you can just do what you want because you've heard from the Lord. I think that's a dangerous place to be. You know, listen, if I'm getting ready to do something pastorally in the leadership of James River, that's a big decision. We're going to start a campus. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. I go to the people that are over me in the Lord. I go to the district superintendent. I say, listen, I'm thinking about doing this. Can you think about this, pray about it, and then let me know what you think? And if I need to come over, make an appointment, sit down and talk with you, I'm happy to do that. The last time I did that, this is what he said. You know you don't have to do this. I said, I know I don't have to do it, but I believe in being under authority. And just because I pastor a big church doesn't make me the expert. And I think God can speak to people. I'm a believer. God speaks to people over us, and that helps us refine and define the direction of what we're filling in our heart, if in fact we are filling something in our heart. Yeah. But a lot of times people just run off, and you're like, wow, a little bit of godly counsel would have helped them a whole lot. You say, well, where do I get that? It could be somebody, you might have a life group leader who is very seasoned. Yeah. Yeah. It could be one of the pastors on staff. Listen, it doesn't have to be one particular. The people we have on staff, I've got great confidence in them. But I would always, the bigger the decision, Debbie and I would have to say this, we don't make decisions unilaterally. We just don't do it. Because I've seen it go bad for way too many people. And I've seen the value of it over time in my life of asking people who know more about it, or people who I have respect for their walk with the Lord, or people who are over me in the Lord. And I want to find out what they think on some things. I just think that's a wonderful caution for people. Because honestly, and you've heard me say this many times, the first rule in hearing from God is you may be wrong. And better to have somebody who can help give you perspective. But you don't see, here's what happens. A lot of times people hear a little bit, they hear, and maybe especially if it's what they want to hear, then they don't want anybody telling them any different. And I think you're better off to say, listen, this is what I think I'm hearing. Do you feel like this is from the Lord? And when you ask for counsel, I would encourage you. I'm just trying to talk very practically to you. If somebody comes into me and they say, listen, I just want to let you know God's told me this, this, and this. I don't know what they want me to say. How am I going to argue with God? I'm a whole lot more comfortable if they come in and say, you know what? We feel the Lord has been speaking to our heart, and we feel like this might be what God is saying. What do you think? Then I feel open to sharing with them counsel. But once somebody says, well, God said, it's kind of the end of the discussion for me. I think we have to be really careful when we want to, if we really want to discern the voice of the Lord, we have to, I think when you're going to people over you in the Lord, it's really good to be a little less dogmatic or you know, black and white. I think you can say, you know, I really feel like God may be saying this to me, but I think that will be confirmed if you agree. But very few people want to go there, because a lot of people want to do what they want to do, and that will get you in trouble every time. So I realize I'm saying, it's just as a pastor, I just watch it, and I think so many times it goes less than it could have for people, because any one of us humanly can become very self-willed. And I would say this, number three, God generally speaks for comfort and encouragement, not to condemn you. I think it's really important, because I think a lot of people hear very condemning things that they think are from the Lord, and I don't think they're from God at all.
So good.
You know, if God comes to you and he convicts you, it's for the purpose of repentance, of bringing you to a place of repentance that you might walk in the joy of the Lord. You know, that's what God wants to do. God wants you to be able to be in good relationship. And so God is going to encourage us to seek him and to walk close to him. And obviously, if there's sin in your life that is dominating you, then the Lord may warn you. There's no question about that, but the Lord loves you. And I just think people have to realize God speaks for comfort and encouragement. And I mean, you think how many times in the Old Testament when God calls people or confronts people, there's always a promise. There's always life attached to it. If you serve me, there's life. And God says, choose life. And number four, he speaks softly. And this is why you and I have to learn to be able to quiet our heart and to remove the things that distract us from really sensing him and being okay with being quiet before him. Certainly we talk to him, but there's also that place where we develop over time this ability to quiet our spirit so we can hear him. Where we're okay being alone and being in his presence, or we're okay not having 1,000 things going on. We're okay with setting the phone to the side or turning the TV off. And we're just okay because we understand God could speak at any time, and you develop that. You practice, as one man said, the presence of the Lord, and then you feel his presence and you become attuned to what that's like to a greater degree. I just feel like God wants to speak to his people. As we talk about being led by fire, God wants to speak to you. He is speaking to you. He's calling you. He's encouraging you. He's directing you. He's preparing you. He's interested in the big things in your life. And guess what? He's interested in the little things in your life. Don't ever think, well, God would never say anything about that because he doesn't. No, 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 no. God cares. The steps of a righteous person, I close with this, are ordered of the Lord, directed by the Lord. And it says this, and he delights in every detail of their lives. God delights in the details of your life. If he delights in the details of your life, he's going to speak about those details, right? Right.